It's a song I wrote when I was in Bible college in 75, 76. Long time ago. And it's all off of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Me and a friend, we sat down and went through and sang it. I haven't sung in a long time, so hope I get it right. Somewhere over the rainbow. Won't be long. We're gonna see God someday. Jesus is coming to take us home up there. So be ready to meet the Savior. For almost surely in heaven and earth shall all pass away, but we'll be at home at last. The word says he will come again and reign on earth 1,000 years. But that's not first. The dead in Christ, they're going to rise. And all the Christians still alive will be caught up too, like me and you, forever to be with God. Never to depart, my friends, there's a place for you near my Savior's heart. Amen. Thank you. I have a lot of scripture this morning. The topic of my sermon is faith. And there's a lot of scriptures on faith. So let's go. I want to honor our pastor, Randy Hubert, Dr. Randy Hubert, for inviting me. And you guys have been so warm and welcoming every time I come. I enjoy it. And I'm sorry my wife couldn't be here. And sorry that I couldn't preach before Randy one time. It'd be nice. But he said that he listens to the tape, so. I want to give honor to God and my Savior and give him all the praise for what he's doing in my life and how he's doing it. So let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we thank you that we can come one more time to hear your word and to deposit in our hearts and in our minds that when we need it each and every moment of every day, we have it to use it to your grace. Bless the people. Prepare their hearts and minds to receive what you've touched me with. May it come out in a perfect way to everyone. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like a couple of teenagers, a boy and a girl, volunteer. Okay. Got a girl? Okay, great. Praise God. Grab a Bible and give them a mic real quick. Anybody got the mic? Turn to Matthew. No, not Matthew. Romans 10:17. Romans 10, 17. Very good. Ladies before gentlemen.
Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ.
But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to all the ends of the world.
Again, I ask, did the Israel not understand? First, Moses said, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding.
And Isaiah boldly says, I found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who, did not ask for me.
But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held.
Hold on. Romans, right here. Romans 10, 17. Read that.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Now you read it. 17.
Oh. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen. You know, there's a little story about that. You know, you could take my dad did it when he was pastoring, and with the youth group, he wrote on a piece of paper a saying, and he gave it to somebody, and then he said, now read it and pass it along. And you pass it along, and you pass it along, and you pass it along, and you pass it along. And when you get to the end, you tell the last person, now say what you read. And it comes out different from the first one to the last one. Because in translation, people take what they want and, you know, disregard everything. You know, it's like sometimes they're in a hurry or whatever. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's important that we hear the word of God. When I was growing up, is the mic too close to me? When I was growing up, we had three sermons usually, or two sermons every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Sometime on special Sundays, we'd have three. In fact, when I first started preaching back in the 70s, 79, I preached at the church I was licensed under. And then we went to a neighboring church just 15 miles away, and most of the people from that church came there. And I preached again. And then I came back to my home church and preached a third time. Three different sermons. Because you're preaching to the same people, so you're not going to, you know, say the same sermon, you know. So in those times, you got a lot of word. And I needed that, a lot of word. Because the word that we get in with us builds our faith so that we can sustain the troubles that are coming. Everybody say, are coming. You can't avoid the troubles that are coming. They're coming. They're tests for us. by God to, in essence, make us better. I'm looking for my glass. To make us better. When we are tried by God, sometimes we think that it's a punishment. You know, it's an argument between our wife and me, or your wife and you, or your son and your daughter, or your wife and your daughter. It's an argument with your boss. You're in a turmoil or situation with them, and you don't know why. You didn't do anything wrong. Or you did something wrong, and you're apologizing for it, but it doesn't make any difference because it's not changing the situation. You ever talk to somebody, and you explain your position and your right, but they turn it a different way, and they keep coming back to the same thing. What's it called? Regurgitating? Rehashing? Going over it and over? You didn't apologize right. You didn't do it the way I thought you should have done it. And we need faith in order to stand the test of these trials. Because the trials are between a loved one, usually. The trials and the testing is between somebody that's close to us. That makes it the hardest. Because sometimes if it's somebody else, we could sometimes care less whether they accept it or not. You know, I apologize, you know, it's on you. But when you got to live with that person, it makes it a whole nother ballgame. Because it goes on and on and on. So when you look to God for the answer to your problem, and you trust Him in faith, then it helps you to get through your problem. I don't know if you guys take notes. I have Genesis 25, 29 through 34. I have Genesis 20, 45, 26 through 28. Also Leviticus 26, 23 through 26. And that one, if you read the whole chapter, it's just awesome. I mean, not awesome, but scary. The disobedience. When we're disobedient to God, and the punishment when we're, you know, it's not that you're disobedient and you just did something wrong today. But God is a long-suffering God. So He allows you to go on and on and on and on. And then He's like, come on, I'm trying to get you to, come on, please. You know, like we do the grandchildren, come on. But God gets to a point, He's like, wait a minute, now I got to turn. I got to turn and really put some leather to the skin. And it's not going to hurt. It's not going to help. I mean, it's not going to be easy. It's going to hurt. And God wants us to understand that faith is something that we, in a relationship with Him, is important. You cannot please God. Anybody know? You cannot please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible, the word says, to please God. Well, why should we please God? Why should we please God? Don't we want to please our mother and father? Don't we want to please our dad and and our boss, and don't we want to please those that we have friendships with? It makes your relationship better. Don't you want to please your husband and wife? You want to please them. It's because it's a relationship. And in a relationship, if I don't trust you, if I don't have faith in my partner, how's my relationship going to grow? Faith is so important. Sometimes we look at it in the God sense and we don't understand it. We don't comprehend how we put this together. Why I got to have faith in God? Well, it's impossible to please Him. And your job is to please Him. When cancer comes, ain't it a blow? It's a hard blow. I don't care what cancer it is. It's a hard blow because you don't know what's going to happen. But you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow anyway. You don't know if you walk out this door, if the meteorite comes down out of the sky and just, boom, that's it. You're gone. Just you. Misses your wife. Just you. Whoop. That's it. Sometimes we fail to understand how amazing things can happen. Job 4 and 5. Job, the fourth chapter. The fourth verse and the fifth verse. I'm going to read that one. I like that one. Then Eliphaz from Teman spoke up. Would you mind if I said something to you? He's speaking to Job after Job has been talking for quite some time. Under the circumstances, it's hard to keep quiet. You yourself have done this plenty of times, spoken words that clarify, encouraged those who were about to quit. Your words have put stumbling people on their feet, put fresh hope in people about to collapse. But now you're the one in trouble. You're hurting. You've been hit hard and you're reeling from the blow. But shouldn't you devout life give you confidence now? Shouldn't your exemplary life give you hope? Are we living an exemplary life? Job was living an exemplary life. And he was witnessing. What I heard in the testimony was the witnessing to people. That's our job. Go ye into all the world and what? Make disciples of men. Share the good news. That's our job. When you're in a job, you take your job seriously, hopefully. I mean, some people go to jobs and they lay down, find a place to hide. I remember. Oh, I done got somebody. I remember I was shooting pool at a pool hall with a friend of my brother's, older friend, and we were shooting pool. And I was like, he worked at the steel mill, Sharon Steel. And I said, Freddie, aren't you supposed to be at work? He said, I am. I said, what? I am. He said, I get done playing with you. When my shift's over, I'll go over and punch out and go home. There are people that are like that, and they sit in pews in the church. They're sitting in the pew. They have a prime seat. But they won't share Jesus with their wife, with their kids, with their grandkids, with their boss, with anybody in their community. They won't talk to their neighbor. Excuse me. They won't talk to their sister and brothers. I've spoken to people. I ain't talked to her. I don't talk to him. I don't remember the last time I talked to him. Well, ain't he your brother? Won't you call him occasionally, once a year or something? But not only that, but are you engaged in your relationship with God and wanting to do the job that you're supposed to be doing, sharing the good news? Don't you want him to be in heaven with you? No. Oh, what? How many people would say that? Really, and being honest, no, I don't want him there. No, I don't want him there. Why? Oh, you don't know him. You ain't been around him. God can't change that. Where's your faith? God changed you. Where is your faith? How big is your God that he can't change your brother or sister or your aunt or your cousin or somebody that is just a biker or whatever? You don't know. It's not yours to know. It's God's. He said, go. You ever tell a kid, hey, would you go get me something? I'm like, what? I ain't never in my life said that to my mom or dad. I wouldn't be standing afterward. I'd have been, boom. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll get that for you. Hey, you know, why? Why I got to do that? Because you have faith in me that I'm gonna pay the bills. And you're going to have heat, and you're going to have food, and you're going to have electricity, and you're going to have clothes on your back. Isn't that what God says? I feed you. I take care of you. In Matthew 16, he said, I take care of the lilies in the field. They're dressed better than Solomon. I feed the birds. They're not standing out. Get me something. And usually when you do it with kids, I don't like that. What's that? I don't like that. I was spoiled. My mama spoiled me. I wouldn't eat beans. Would not eat beans. When she made chili, she made goulash. Not goulash, but sloppy joe for me and chili for everybody else. And I went to my uncle's house to go fishing. Staying overnight, going to my uncle's house. And I said, what's for dinner? Black-eyed peas and cornbread. Aunt Marge, you know I don't eat beans. My Uncle George said, put a bowl in front of his boy. You want to go fishing tomorrow, you eat that bowl of black-eyed peas. That's all you get and eat. If you don't eat it, you'll be hungry. And you won't get to go fishing. We're spoiled. So I've learned to eat beans. Another aunt, she made multiple dish with oxtail in it. Man, that was good. But I was grown then, and I didn't have anything else, and that's all I was going to get to eat. And so I enjoyed that meal. But faith faith is an important part of our life and our relationship with God. Faith is an intricate part of our relationship with God. We can't have a relationship with God without faith. Do you really want to please Him? Do you really want to knock His socks off? There are people that have knocked God's socks off, have marveled. The word says marveled. The centurion that said, hey, I have a child that's sick. Can you come? He was asking him, he needs healed. And Jesus said, I'll come. And he's like, no, you don't have to come. He said, take out your phone, send a message of healing, and it'll be done. I got men. I have men under me. When I tell them to go, they go. When I tell them what to do, they do it. I know you got angels. I know you got whatever it takes to get the healing to him. You can do it. Just by saying it. And Jesus says, whoa, you're going into the future. You're going into the future. You know, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When you go home sometime, look up Psalms 22. And Jesus took out his iPhone and he said, now look at this. All the bulls of Bashan around me right now, they're casting lots right now for my garments over there. All my joints are out of place. You're trying to kill your Messiah. You can't do it. I lay my life down and I pick it back up. I am the I am. And when you realize it, even though you tried to kill me, even though you were coming against me, even though you were mean and just disrespectful to me and just spitting on me and just, oh, you tried to kill me. You ripped my skin apart. You've put thorns on my head. And when you come to realize it and you believe that I am the I am, I forgive you. Ooh. I forgive you. Do we do that with our loved ones? When we get in an argument, you're screaming and you're yelling at you. They're biting on you. They're throwing things at you. They're doing all kinds of crazy foolishness. And you just say, God, it's yours. It's in your hands. You'll work it out. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes we get confused of who we're battling. We're not battling our wife. We're not battling our child. We're not battling our boss or anybody. We're in a warfare against Satan. He's coming at us with all kinds of stuff. And faith is supposed to be the shield that blocks all the fiery darts. Not some of them. All of them. Oh, Jesus. Sometimes when you try and do things for God, we get confused. We get twisted. And it's all right, because what he said about Job was hit. He was hit hard. Lost all of his possessions, lost all of his kids. You know, there's people that when they lose a child, never recover. And it's a shame, because if they're in God, it's okay. We don't understand why they were taken early, why they were taken late, why they were taken any time they were taken. You've seen some people on TV that they lost loved ones. They were shot and killed or whatever, and they turn around and say, I forgive them. I forgive the guy. I have to move on. If you don't have the faith that you're supposed to have in God, when hard time comes, it's going to crush you. But the good thing about it, if it doesn't kill you, and you still have breath in your lungs, you can cry out to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Jesus, help me. Cover me with your feathers. Protect me. And how do you do that if you don't have faith? Faith allows you to believe that you can. Let me read Hebrews 5 through 11. 12, excuse me, Hebrews 12th chapter, 5 through 11. In this all-out match against sin, others having suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through, all of the bloodshed. So don't even worry for yourselves. Or have you forgotten how good parents treat children, and that God regards you as his child? My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It is the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training. The normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect training so we can truly live. While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them. But God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it is well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. That's what God wants us to understand. Sometimes we look at parents, and some of the young people that are training or raising or whatever you want to call it with these kids today, it's so ridiculous, it ain't funny. They want a party. They don't care who they drop their kids off with. They don't care about their training. They don't care about their schooling. They don't care. It's a la 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 life, la 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 la. Only do what they have to do. We don't have a God like that. We have a God that loves us, that cares for us, looks after us, and disciplines us. I'm glad for the discipline. Oh, thank you. Now I can go another hour. I got a clap off of that. Wow. My father used to preach for at least an hour. Thank you very much. I was looking for, I looked down there, I'm like, give me some water. Oh. Are you getting anything? Amen. Sometimes when we walk our faith out, there's parents that are they're praying for their kids, and sometimes bad kids. You were one, I was one. Some bad kids. We were bad kids. And I know a mother that in the late 70s, she was Christian, and she was praying for her sons, and she died in 79. And I remember me and her son grew up together. We hung out together. He taught me how to tie my shoes. We went to great kindergarten together. And when he was in his early 50s, because of drugs, because of the lifestyle he had lived, hepatitis C had attacked his liver with cancer, and he was dying. I came to spend some time with him. We went bowling and did some things together and just tried to have a few days with him. And his name was Bradley Massey. I said, Bradley, he gave, given his heart to the Lord and turned his life around. I said, Bradley, I says, I can pray you back even after you die. He's like, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want to come back. When I go, I want to be gone. If I call you, you better come. It's like, no. Faith. And maybe somebody will get this in here. Faith is going in the morgue when you go in the hospital. Before you go up and visit the person you're supposed to go see, go in the morgue first and pray. God, if there's anybody in here that ain't supposed to be in here and you want out, in the name of Jesus. I know a man, his wife died 3 or 4 times. Every time she died, he came to the hospital, prayed for her, and she got up. What happens to us? Our faith is waning. Our faith is not there. Jesus with Lazarus. Heard that Lazarus was sick. What did he do? Oh, let's have a party. Relax. We ain't going nowhere. He's sick. Relax. We ain't going nowhere. Chill out. Take a few days. Every day they probably said, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Chill out. I said, we'll go in time. 4 days later, he dead. Not is he dead. He's dead, dead. They said, he's stinking. He's starting to smell. He's a little ripe. And Jesus is like, it's time. And he goes back and he says, Breathe the breath of life back into him. Why did he do that? He did it to show us the faith that we're supposed to have in him. He is I am. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am everything you need. I'm the first and the last. I can raise you from the dead and you're going to heaven. My next sermon, God already dropped it in me. He dropped this into me a while ago. He already dropped it in me. Is heaven. It's going to be a good one. Heaven. But God wants us to understand that how big of a God he is. How big is your God? Is he a little bump in your hand? Or does God have the whole world in his hand? My God has the whole universe, universes in his hand. He's orchestrating everything. So I serve a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. That's the song you should be singing. I serve a mighty God. Ain't nothing too hard for him. He said, ask it. Ask whatever you want. Ask it. I do it. As we served a mighty God. Let us rise. I didn't get all the way through this, but that's okay. The point is that we serve a mighty God and that we're faithful to him to believe that he wants to do everything for us and have faith in him. I'm going to have prayer right now for Pat Riley.